We began talking about faith comes by hearing and hearing by a rhema. Rhema, what's rhema? Remember, logos is the written word. Rhema is the spoken or revealed word. And so most people say it's spoken, but it's also the revealed word. Christos is the, so it's the anointed revealed word. Thank God for the written word of God. How many know that Jesus was the word made flesh? Are you grateful for the word? There were three in heaven. The Father, the Word, he's known as the Word, and the Holy Ghost, right? There was nothing made without him, Jesus. He is to be revered, honored, and respected, and we are going to gather around his throne and worship him. And he wears the sash, you know? I mean, come on, he is holy. He is worthy. He is the word. So, you know, people call us a word church. I think that's a big compliment. You know, they say, you know, we're a Holy Ghost church. And so what I want to remind you of, that's how faith comes. What I'm concerned about with some of us that have been around a while and then some that have grown up in this church is that the word of God taught them has to profit them by having their own revelation. I think a lot of times when you hear something taught, it becomes a theory to you. And I remember, I always tell you this, you can trace this written word back to the mouth of someone who said it. It's got to be real to you. In other words, and I use Sarah, remember Sarah? Remember God promised them a child, but they couldn't have a child. And then Abraham went in, the whole big mess with, you know, she said, you go in with her. And then that whole, mess of what's his name? Ishmael. You know who Ishmael is? He's still a problem. He's still a problem. And so they tried to do it in their own strength. How many know we can't do anything in our own strength and our own might? It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God, right? And so what I'm seeing in this generation of being people being taught the word is it's becoming a lot of echoes. What do I mean by that? Well, John the Baptist was called a voice. A voice is someone who has heard for themselves. An echo is someone who's repeating something they've heard without any revelation. And people are frustrated because they know it's the will of God to save. They know it's the will of God to heal. They know it's the will of God to bless. They know that's the will of God for you to have peace. See, faith does begin where the will of God is known. But faith is not received until you believe something about what the will of God is. Yes, some people need to start with knowing what the will of God is. But most everybody in this room, I would say you need to make sure that you are hearing from faith comes by hearing. I believe it starts here, but you've also got to hear here. And when you hear down here, then that's when the faith process begins. And there's some things we're going to talk about today. Remember, so Sarah had that problem. Remember the woman at the well? Y'all remember her? Remember, she went back and told everybody in her city. She said, I've met the Messiah. Remember, she even called him the Messiah. She had a revelation. This woman had revelation. You're the Messiah. He didn't even, she said, we know the Messiah comes. And he said, I'm he. And she said, all right, I believe that. Remember, she said, I know the Messiah is coming. He said, I'm him. She said, okie dokie. I believe that. She believed it. Now, she wasn't born again because salvation wasn't available. But she went back to the city and she told them. Now, listen, there was some there that said, many believe because of what you said, but the rest of us believe because we have heard him for ourselves. Do not substitute spending time in the word yourself. I'm grateful you're all here. I'm grateful you're all here. But you got to spend time yourself. You got to hear for yourself. Well, I got to hear from God. Well, hearing from God is not an audible voice. Hearing is revelation. Hearing is having the word enlightened to you. I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That's why I pray that for you. Flooded with light. So you may know him. Paul said, I am persuaded. I know in whom I have believed. And therefore, I am persuaded. A lot of people today know about him, know what the word says, know what the will is, but they don't know him. And you can't walk by faith unless you know him. And then I said this to you. Now, y'all remembering where we were? And then, remember I said this to you the last time we were together talking about this a few weeks ago. That I don't know that unbelief is most of our problem. I believe doubt is most of our problem. What do I mean by that? Remember Thomas, who they call Doubting Thomas, said, I will not believe. Paul, who used to be Saul, remember he was persecuting all the Christians. He said, I did it in ignorance and unbelief. So when I used to start teaching this 30 years ago, I ran it all together like everybody else I knew. Doubt and unbelief, doubt and unbelief. Put them the same package. They're not the same. Unbelief is refusing to believe something. Well, I just can't believe that. That's a lie. Because you can believe anything you want to believe. There's a whole lot of people out in the world today believing a whole lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of crazy going on out there. They believe a whole lot of things. Facebook true. I Googled it and found it, and it's true. You can believe anything you want to believe. And your beliefs, even in the natural, cause you to act. I remember I grew up, I had my second family was florist. And I had heard that as a kid, my mamma said that poinsettias, that if children eat them, they're going to get really sick and could die. And then I was talking to my second dad, John, and I said, is that true? And he took a leaf off and ate it. And he said, the University of Illinois has done a thorough search, and that's nothing but an old wives' tale. But listen to me, if you believe that a poinsettia is going to cause you problem, I wouldn't eat it if I were you. He just gobbled it right down. I have never tasted one. Because my mamma, you know, she knows stuff. Even in the world. But the world's faith is different than our faith. Okay? But I'm just telling you, people act and do things based on what they believe all the time. Make stupid decisions because they believe something. Now, with God, when you find out his will, that's forever sure. And you can act on that. But the problem that a lot of people have is after we act on it, remember what Jesus said? He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have them. And whoever says to this mountain and shall not doubt. What is doubt? It's doue. It means to hesitate. Remember James said, anybody asking wisdom, said that a double-minded man is in all his ways. How can he? How can he receive anything? What? But I want to receive. Good. I know it's the will of God I receive. Good. But if you begin to doubt, hesitate, be double-minded about it, because let's ask Peter. I want to talk to Peter a lot. I'm signing up. Peter, class 101. I'm going to be there. Right after I see Jesus and all of my family, then I'm going to Peter's class. Because I've talked about him so much. He's really kind of a friend of mine. He doesn't know it yet. Because I think I'm a little bit like him, not totally like him. But remember Peter walked on water? Do y'all remember that? Have any of you ever walked on water? I'll say it. My wife thinks I walk on water. But I don't. So, I didn't look at her. I don't know what she's doing. So, he was walking on water. How many know that took some faith? Jesus, Peter, walking on water. Right? Everybody focuses on he drowned, almost. That Jesus had to help him. But this is the case. Remember this? We're going to get in today. He was walking on the water, and then he saw circumstances. He felt the water hit him in the face. A fisherman walking on water realized at that moment in the natural, I can't walk on the water. I can't walk on it when it's still, and I sure can't walk on it when it's storming. And the Bible says that he began to sink. Everybody say, help me, Jesus. Good prayer. He grabbed a hold of him, put him back on the water. He said, why did you what? Doubt. Wasn't talking about unbelief. Why did you hesitate? You were doing it. He said, why did your faith, he said, King James says, why did you have such little faith? But if you study that out, little is not, how many know he walked on the water? You think that's faith, right? So little there is amount of time. Why did your faith last a little while? Now you and I, understand me. You can get revved up on a Sunday morning. Saturation meaning you can run around, fall out, do the Holy Ghost chicken, do everything, and you can get it, and you got it, and even maybe things have changed. And then you go home or you get out in your car and a wave hits you. And then you have a moment to do what? Either keep believing God or doubt. And if you doubt, you're going, listen, where there's unbelief, faith is not present. Okay? There is no faith. He's not doubting Thomas. He was unbelieving Thomas. He said, I won't believe unless I can feel it, touch him, put my fist in his side. I will not believe. And Jesus is gracious and said, here you go, big boy. Go ahead and do all those things. And he said, my Lord and my God. But doubt is, it doesn't mean you weren't in faith, because you were. Peter was walking on water. But then doubt came. He hesitated. He wavered. And he began to sink. And where there's doubt doesn't mean you weren't in faith, but your doubt will override your faith and your faith will no longer work. Are you listening to me? Does it mean you weren't in faith? Well, that's just terrible news, Pastor Mark. No, the good news is you can say, you can chase that doubt away. Right. Hallelujah. And part of it is what I'm going to tell you today. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Faith comes by hearing. What did she hear? She must have heard, if you can touch his clothes, you'll be healed, right? What did Jairus believe? He said, if I can get you to come lay hands on my daughter, she'll live, right? And remember she died, and Jesus said, don't be afraid. Fear and doubt go hand in hand. He said, only believe what? Jesus said, only believe. Believe what? Believe what you already said. Believe what you already said. In other words, so that moment for Jairus was a moment of either doubt that would overtake what he already believed, but Jesus was right there to say, don't be afraid. Don't get into doubt. Believe what you already said. What did you said? You said, if I can come to your house, lay hands on your daughter, she would live. The circumstances may have changed. Have you ever believed God? It seems, and it get worse. Well, do you think that's a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. That's the devil trying to remove you or move you out of your faith and get you into doubt so that your faith don't work. You don't think the devil knows how this works? He knows how this works. But you and I, so what are we working against now? So if it's unbelief, you got to have knowledge of the word of God, because you're going to perish because you don't have knowledge. And you need to renew your mind, and you need to find out what the will of God is, and you need to begin to believe it. If you have believed something and you've gotten into doubt, you got to make sure the circumstances aren't moving you anymore, that you're not in fear, and you go back to believing what you said. Amen. All right, so the woman with the issue of blood, she heard something. She said, so she heard, if you touch him. So she began to believe that. And then the Bible says she said within herself. So today, just real quick, I'm going to get started. I want to talk to you about words. Now, you know, Pastor Mark, are we one of them name it and claim it churches? Well, if you use that terminology, or if you never heard that terminology, it's criticism. Because, you know, they call us name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and all that kind of stuff. And I have responses for it, but I've grown up, so I'm not going to say them. And so I'll let somebody else do it. But, you know, that's just ignorance on their part. Because if you understand the Bible and you read it from the beginning to the end, you're going to find out all throughout the Word of God. starting in Genesis, that words are important, and not just important for God to say, important for you to say. And so I put this in a category, five different categories. And so we're going to talk about a little bit about two of them. I believe in confession or words unto faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't believe anybody else more than you believe yourself. And so you ought to be speaking the word when you're starting in faith, when you're working on something, when you're believing for something, then you ought to hear the word of God coming out of your mouth. And then there's the confession of faith. There's a confession unto faith. There's a confession of faith. Number three, you use words to exercise authority. Jesus said, whoever would say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Whatever any man binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So there's words, when you speak in the name of Jesus, you're using words for authority. Number four, your words can steer your life. The Bible says the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. Proverbs talks so much about steering your life. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's talking a lot about steering your life. The Bible says if you get a hold of your tongue, you can get a hold of your whole body. Right? All of it. And then the Bible says that the angels hearken unto the voice of the word of God. So even to get angelic help, and there's a lot of angelic help available that people don't take advantage of. It's not like you order an angels around. You can't do that. But you speak the word and they hearken unto it. Right? And so I want to talk to you just real quick. The difference, first of all, between a confession of faith and the confession unto faith is when you're unto faith confession, it's more like to me, I'll explain it to you this way. Remember in Joshua 1 when God told Joshua to meditate. What does it mean to meditate? Meditate is not, you know, not the Eastern religion kind of meditate. You don't need any incense, and you don't need to go, and you don't need to do crisscross applesauce, you know, that kind of stuff, and put on any funky, weird music or anything like that. God's confession is meditating. When you meditate the word, one of the best ways to meditate is to speak it to yourself. For instance, when you first begin to believe, Wednesday night, man, we had a kind of a leftover from Chile anointing, and the anointing was here to minister those that were having prolonged sicknesses or diseases in their body, and we had a lot of results, heard some testimonies. I know a testimony in my own house, things began to turn around, hallelujah, immediately. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. We believe it is the will of God for everybody to walk in health. Everybody doesn't receive their healing, but it is the will of God for them to have healing. It's part of what Jesus did. And so let's just take healing, for instance. Maybe you grew up like I did. When I grew up hearing that, I heard God can, but mostly you don't. You can pray, and if he sees fit, then he will. The only thing I ever saw was he willn't. I didn't see him will many times. I don't remember hardly any times. Mostly because of what we were taught and what we believed. Healing was not practiced in our church. I never saw anybody have hands laid on them. Most people, when they got sick, they did pray, but almost all of them passed away. It made an impression. I believed, I guess he doesn't anymore. As a young kid, that's what you form beliefs based on what everybody says. But then I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then I started reading the Bible and hearing the word, and I really found out what the will of God was. And by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. It's a past tense thing. He did it on the cross by stretching his body over the whipping post and taking those stripes for you and for me. And so one way, not the only way, but one way, an important way, to get started believing something that is the will of God is to confess what the scripture says about it. Read it. Meditate on it. Read it. Meditate on it. And as you're meditating on it, speak it. But that doesn't mean you're in faith. It means you are confessing the word, you're meditating. You're at the same time renewing your mind to get your mind and your soul understanding your spirit is ready to believe. But it's not until you make a choice when you are ready to believe that you're ready for the confession of faith. A lot of people don't understand the difference. But when you believe something and you talk about it, nobody can talk you out of it. You don't care what the circumstances say. Now, don't anybody get mad at me. Don't throw any stones. Don't send me any emails. All right? But when people ask me to believe with them from a good report from the doctor, I know they are not in faith. That would even make some of my minister friends mad. Because if you're moved by that report, you haven't been moved by this report yet. Do we all want a good doctor's report? Well, sure. But that has nothing to do with our faith. So me praying for you to get, what if I pray and you get a horrible report? Then you're moved. But see, when you're in faith, you're not moved. But I want a good report. So does everybody. But what if you don't get one? Now, see, I got half of you mad at me already. Maybe some of you are thinking, I've asked him to pray that I would have a good report. And what did he? And now you're trying to remember what I did. This is what I do. I take a hold of your hands and I believe God with you. I mention nothing of a good report. Because I can't have a faith for you to have a good report. See, let's not pray stuff and say stuff. Okay, I'm going to help you. Do I want a good report? Do you want a good report? Is it nice to get a good report? Will eventually their report line up with this report? But if I'm praying for a report, your eyes are on report. While I'm here, let's kick some stuff. I'm just waiting on my manifestation. It's for healing. Lord, but this was not a healing service today, but we're here. I'm just waiting on my manifestation. Are you really now? Well, I'm just waiting on it to manifest. So you're telling me when you see it is when you're going to believe it. Charismatic terms and terminology that you have to get out of your vocabulary. I'm just awaiting on my manifestation. So you're telling me you're not believing until you see it. Well, I believed and I prayed and now I'm just awaiting. Well, if you pray, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe now that you have received them. And then you will. Well, I want to have it. Well, then believe it. Well, how do I know I'm believing it? Oh, I'm glad you asked. A part of it is your confession of faith. Remember, y'all good? I'm good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. These days, I'm really helping myself a lot. Hallelujah. Let's talk about this. Let's just start with, so you understand the confession unto faith. Maybe you just got a hold of something, or I do this sometimes, and I've been preaching for a long time. If I'm working on something, I'll go back to the Word of God and start confessing that. I do this, and y'all know I teach on how to be led all the time. When I have an important decision to make, I have 5 or 6 scriptures that I go to, and I preached on for 35 years. I still work them. What I mean by work them, I confess them, just to make sure I've got the word to step out in faith to believe that I can hear from God. When it comes to any of this stuff, confession of faith is meditation. It's speaking the word. Is it vital? If you're having trouble or you're believing for a manifestation, are y'all with me? If you're believing for a manifestation, you're believing for a report, then when it comes to healing, then go back and study the scriptures and get confident in, he heard me when I prayed. This is the confidence that I have in him. If I ask anything according to his will, I know that he heard me. And if I know that he heard me, I know that I have the petitions that I've desired of him. And so it's packed to the place of prayer. Well, if I was doing all this stuff and I thought I was in faith, because if I would come to you and say, do you believe that? Has that happened for you in your heart? And you can't answer me, then just keep speaking the word. Just keep meditating on it. You don't give up. And listen, this is not, great faith. It's just all you need is just a little bit. Just a grain is a mustard seed. If you had faith as a mustard seed, Jesus said what? You'd say something. you'd say something. So part of it is you on purpose saying something. But there does come a day. So I guess we'll just skip ahead. Hallelujah. When you believe something. We had 10 people, 11 people water baptized. Now, before they went, I made sure they were all born again. I made them, and what I do before I water baptize, I make sure someone gives me a confession of faith. Because otherwise, they're just getting wet. And I really work with that. We work with that with the little ones. Because I don't want to have to be water baptized again when they're 30, because this didn't mean anything to them. They did it for mom. They did it for dad. I want to make sure they're born again, Jesus, Lord of their life. So that's Romans 10, 9 and 10. How do you know you're born again? Well, it's called the Great Confession. And everything works like this works. You heard something. What did you hear? You heard that Jesus was the Son of God. What else did you hear? You heard that he went to the cross. But this is the most important thing you heard. You heard that he was raised from the dead. If you don't include that, you're not born again. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let's look at it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Yeah, whoever's up there, yes, this is where I've decided to land. Hallelujah. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, so what are we doing? Confessing. What are we talking about today? Confession, talking about words. So, and you shall believe in your heart. Where do you have to believe? Not your head. Faith is not of the head. Faith is not even of the renewed mind. Faith is of the cardia, that God has raised him from the dead. So is it enough to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Is it enough to believe that he went to a cross? No. What do you got to believe? He's alive. What do you got to believe? He's alive. Other stopping before this makes it religion. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And even though you didn't see it, even though you weren't there at the tomb, you believe it. And because you believe it, you'll be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Twice it talks about your mouth. With your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when you confess, then that salvation is now available to you. Mouth, confession is made unto. And it works with all confession about everything that Jesus has done for you. But you're not born again until you confess something. Okay, let's look at this. And then people will say, well, what if someone's mute? We're going to get to, I think I'll clear this up for somebody. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians, we have in the same spirit of faith. Everybody say, I have a spirit of faith. According as written, I believed. What do you believe? Well, whatever the word of God, faith begins where the will of God is known. You believe something from the word of God. I believed, and therefore I have done what? It's not a spirit of faith without the speaking. You can't get born again without the speaking. You can't get born again without the speaking. You can't receive from God without the speaking, without the confession. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, everybody say, I also believe. And what are you going to do? I'm going to speak it. What are you speaking? What you believe. Difference, though, of confession unto faith. This is talking about the confession of faith. Confession of faith. How do I know when it happens, Pastor Mark? How do I know if I'm unto in it or doing it? No one will have to tell you. What? How many of you are born again? If you've never raised your hand before in church, do it this day. How many of you are born again? Okay, I got 75% of you. I'm good with that. The other 25% of you, I'm going to get you born again in just a minute. Hallelujah. So how did you get born again? And you believed you heard something, and then you confessed something. Somebody prayed with you. You believe that. And now today, you can freely tell somebody, I am born again. But it's because you believe it. But you know, we talk about no-so salvation. Because if I walked up to somebody and I said, to this young lady here, and I said, are you born again? And she's like, I hope so. I hope I'm doing good. I'm trying to do good. I went to church today. I carried my Bible. I hope so. What do I know about this hope so girl? She's not. Being in a church doesn't make you born again. Just like you go standing in your garage and going vroom, vroom doesn't make you a car. It really doesn't, you know. Doesn't. Or you putting on a Superman costume doesn't make you him. Right? Hope so. Not born again. What would I do then? I'd get her born again. Try to get her born again by bringing her to the realization of who Jesus is, what he's done. Because salvation is no so. Now, you may have the devil, when you first get born again, try to talk you out of it. But really, in here, you're sure. Have you ever seen the Lamb's Book of Life where your name is written? I haven't either, but I know for positive fact my name is written. I have never seen the streets of gold, but I know they're there. I've never seen the throne room of God physically with my eyes, but I approach it all the time. I believe something. I know it. So that's what I'm telling you. When you believe something, you'll know that you're believing it. You'll know it in here. It's where you start. If you're not confident about it, if you're not persuaded about it, keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Keep meditating. The strangest places will happen when you believe it. You could just be out cutting the grass, washing your car. I've had it sometimes the weirdest places be like, oh, you know, I didn't hear anything, but it's like, ah. Hallelujah. Remember Abraham and Sarah, Romans 4:17. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations. That's God's proclamation to him. I have made you a father of many nations. That's God's side of it. The will of God. God speaking to your heart, a rhema. That's really for him, a rhema. I have made you the father of many nations. He wasn't a father at all. And then Ishmael was not the one. I've made you a father of many nations through Sarah. I've made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. So when you're really in faith, you begin to call it the way God calls it instead of calling it the way you see it. This is subtle. Man, I'm doing a lot of subtle stuff. I'm getting real kicking some stuff aside. You know, people, healing's just so easy to use, y'all. It's just an easy example. But I hear people say that I love and who've been in this church for a minute, I hear them say things like, well, I'm not sick in Jesus' name. How many know that's better than saying, I'm sick in Jesus' name? Or, you know, always talking what they see. But just because you tack the name of Jesus onto anything to say doesn't mean you're in faith. And besides that, you need some word in it. I'm not sick is not word. That's your attempt at making a confession. Is that all right? It's true. What is the confession? By his stripes I'm healed. He who knew no sin became sin, right? That for me and by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. Jesus became a curse for me that the blessings of Abraham would come upon me through faith. I am in faith and the Abrahamic blessings are coming on me and I walk in them. That's word. He took my sickness and my disease. He was bruised for my transgression. You know, the chastisement of his peace was by his stripes. I am healed. That's word. Are you with me? Yes. Just fine-tuning this fine car that I have here. I'm just fine-tuning you. We're in the shop a little bit, and we're going to send you out a Ferrari. Hallelujah. You came in a Chevy, but I'm going to send you out a Ferrari. Hallelujah. All right? Glory to God. So let's get back to the one with the issue of blood. As I was changing, the Holy Ghost said that revelation for someone was going to come with this. Mark 5:25. And a certain woman was had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things, many physicians, spent all she had, and was nothing better, grew worse. She heard of Jesus. We talked about it. She came behind the press and touched his garment. For she said, everybody say, she said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. Matthew 9. Sometimes you put all the gospels together, you get the full picture. For she said within herself. She said within herself. I know everybody's big about saying things out loud, but and I know this is just one scripture, but it's an important scripture. The Lord really was talking to me as I was getting ready to come back out after changing clothes. He said, she said within herself. I think sometimes confession has become so everybody else can hear what I believe. And really, in some ways, it's become a form of pride. I want you to know that I know as much about the word as you do. So I'm going to say what I know. But really, this woman didn't, according to scripture, talk out loud. And so the Holy Ghost wants me to talk to me and you, because I've dealt with this all my life. Self-talk. Self-talk. What is self-talk? That's the stuff that comes from imaginations. How many of you know you're supposed to cast down imaginations? But along with the imaginations comes self-talk. If you have an imagination long enough, you'll begin to talk with it. And what you won't talk out loud, especially all of us in this room, because we all know better. But you'll talk it inside. You'll have a, how many, don't raise your hand. Now, this one I don't want you to raise your hand on. You've had conversation within yourself. It's called, I want you to begin to notice that this week. I want you to begin to, Pastor Rhonda talks about when she was at Rhema and she heard this, she was shocked at her self-talk. I'm not shocked at my self-talk when I'm not doing so hot. It's very negative and very, and then even self-talk will sometimes leak out. The negative self-talk is how I used to keep me under control. It used to be my motivator in school, in high school, in college, at the workplace. Silly stuff like, when you make a mistake, you're so ignorant. How embarrassing. You should know better than that. And I'm trying to motivate myself with negative, but that's not how God motivates. And there's all kind of stuff, even with sin and with habits and practices that come within a lot. You've got it under control out here, but you don't have it under control in here. And a lot of it has to even do, so then you think about it with faith. She said within herself. Now, how many of you know this, because this is a confession of faith. She said, if I can but touch him. Because remember, we went through this. Remember all those folks that were around him and they was touching all over him? And they were, this is Jesus. And I'm trying to get something out of Jesus. Well, they heard it too. They might have even said it too. I'm going to go find him, and I'm going to touch him, and I'm going to see if this works. How do I know they said, I'm going to see if this works? Because it didn't work. They said, I'm going to see if this works. So this polyparrot echo thing, it's not real faith. It looks like faith. Sometimes it even talks like faith. But it is not faith. And it's frustrating this stuffings out of people. Tried to pick my word right. Frustrating the stuffings. You know what I mean? I just frustrated. Deferred does make the heart sick. But I'm touching Jesus and nothing's happening. This woman touched him and suddenly he wants to stop and talk to her about it. Who touched me? The disciples even said, everybody's touching you. But if everybody, so how many, let's just say 99 people were trying to touch him and one person touched him with faith. The other 99 were annoying. So he was happy somebody finally got it. And he wanted to hear all about it. How do I know they said something? Well, I'm not sure they said something. But they did the last part. They had a corresponding action, but their corresponding action got them nothing. But she even said within herself. Now, this is really big. Y'all listen to me. When it's a confession of faith and you say it within yourself, what? That's you heard it and God heard it. And it seems to me it might be enough. Now, the confession unto faith, you better talk that one out loud. Because your eye gate needs it. You need to read it. Your ear gate needs it. And your mouth gate needs it. And that goes into your heart and it feeds your spirit and makes it strong so you can walk by faith. So this confession of faith is not for everybody else. It's for you and God. Now, Pastor, I shouldn't say it out loud. No, you should say it out loud. I'm just saying it doesn't seem to me to be the qualifier. And what the Holy Ghost is dealing with me about is all this negative self-talk that you're doing on the inside. You need to watch that because it will negate your faith. Because listen, I can't say, again, healing, having an inward struggle, talking to myself, this didn't work. He laid hands on me. I fell out, but nothing really happened. I don't understand why something didn't happen. Everybody else act like something happened and nothing really happened to me. I don't understand why it didn't happen. And then you get to church. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Or even say the right thing. When hands were laid on me, the power of God went into me and I fell out of the power. And I just believe I'm healed. I just believe I'm healed. And then you go home and you know, you got in praise and worship, felt the presence of God. And then the symptom, well, I guess it, on the inside, and I guess it didn't work. I'm going to keep after it though. Guess it didn't work. If you're doing that internally, you got to change that. How do you grab a hold of the self-talk? Well, you don't have to grab your tongue. You just kind of have to shake yourself and then just like you would do outward talk, replace it with the Word of God. How do you cast down imaginations? Take every thought captive, right? Praise the Lord. Can you see this woman said within herself? She said within herself. If I could, but, and then it directed her to what we'll eventually talk about. It directed her, those words pulled her to an action. A lot of times, let me just throw it, since we're doing a lot of housekeeping today, a lot of people do actions to make God do something. It is, that's all it is, it just works. Your corresponding action has to be from a position of faith. You believe something, so you do something. I'm not going to do something to see if I get something. I'm not going to do something to make him do something. I tell this story all the time. It makes me look really bad, but I'm going to do it again. So I was at Bible school, and I started hearing about Christ the Healer. And I've worn glasses since I was a little boy. I was really almost legally blind. I couldn't do anything without my glasses. I've worn glasses since I was 6, 7 years old. And so I got out there and started hearing about Christ the Healer. And I heard all the processes this woman went through. And I decided that I too am healed because I'm tired of these glasses. And I'm tired of putting contacts in and it's expensive. And I have decided that I am healed. And so I was on my way. I decided where I was going to do this was I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to pull on to street number 71, which is the busiest street in all of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to drive without glasses that I can't see a blessed thing. It's all blurry. And I'm not wearing contacts because by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Because corresponding actions, faith without corresponding actions is dead. And so I'm going to show the Lord that I actually believe. And so I'm going to do it. And so I get in my car and I pull out and nothing's changed. But I'm sure by the time I hit 71st Street, all is going to be well. But this is all in my mind. I somehow didn't kill somebody. Made it to the grocery store, can't see what I'm getting, put it in the car, ask the Lord to forgive me, and I ask him to get me home. Can I have some, I'm really believing for angels. Now because there's something else I didn't know, I'm believing for angels, and somehow I made it home. Now I keep telling that story. Why? Because I think a lot of times people hear corresponding actions. I've got to do something. But just doing something will not make you healed. You have to do it because you believe something. Now when the gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation, we got so much to talk about today, but we really did good, didn't we? When like Annie Durant is here, she's operating in working of miracles and gifts of healings. And so when she gives you a command from the Spirit of God to do something, you can obey that spirit of that command and do something and you'll get a result. But when you're believing God, when you're just starting out and you really you haven't made the real confession of faith, you really don't believe you have it, and you just try to do something to get God to do something, that's like a lot of times people throw away their medicine. Say, see God, I believe. Well, unless you're healed and the Lord told you to throw away your medicine, you're just going to have to replace it. Don't raise your hand how many times you had to replace things. Let's just go to home. Some of you, I love this one. Smoking cigarettes. How many of you know that's just, you know, probably won't send you to hell, might cause you to die early, just make you stink as you go, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's the unpardonable sin. You know, we're not going to measure our sins one against the other. But they're addictive, right? And if any of you ever got off of them and you did it naturally, good for you. Thank God you're off of it. But I heard, you know, I love this story Brother Keith Moore tells about a guy who said he wanted to get, you know, he's thrown away how many cigarette packages and had how many hands laid on him. And Brother Keith said to him, will you do something? He said, you know, I think probably the answer is, yeah, if it's easy. And so he said, yeah, it's easy. He said, every time you go to smoke one, you confess this scripture and you say that I am free in Jesus' name. Gave him scripture, I think, and confess it. And so he said, every time you go to buy a new pack, as you're buying it, you confess this scripture and thank the Lord for your deliverance. Every time you put a pack in your pocket or put them by the, he said, every time you do it, he said, you mean what? And he said, every time you take a puff, you thank the Lord that you're delivered. He said, while I'm smoking, see that religiously, that would just send people nutty. I mean, like, you can't do that. You can't mention God in a scripture while you're smoking a cigarette. But if you're going to get free, you can. And so I guess it was a little while later, he came back and Brother Keith said he was all smiles. I don't know if I told this story exactly right. Many of you have heard it. But he said he was all smiles. And he said basically one day he was just smoking somewhere and he just realized he didn't ever need another one the longest day he lived. But he did exactly that during it. Now, but listen, if you just say, well, I'm gonna do that, but you don't believe it, you might need a carton or something by, you know, I don't know. You can't copy somebody else's faith. You got to have your own. But the God that did that for him will do that for you. And how did he get free? He got free with words spoken. Every time he had an action, even though it was a wrong action, he had the right words, and those right words moved over the wrong actions until he had right actions to go along with his right words that he believed. I heard a testimony recently. I don't know where we were. I was watching a video. A guy heard that testimony, only his problem was crack, cocaine. And he did exactly the same thing. I guess he was taking a line and said what the word said. And you say, oh, that's just awful. But you know what? The same thing happened to him. He's totally free. Well, I'm just going to have hands laid on me. Well, hands laid on you is good, and it does destroy the anointing. But if it's still, you're still dealing with it, maybe you ought to start saying what the word says. Maybe you ought to speak the word, confession unto faith, and then one day you'll have a confession of faith and corresponding actions to match the woman with the issue of blood. And your words are not for everybody. Your words are for you and God. I would say if you're working on something, say it out loud. And I think even when you're making a confession of faith, say it out loud. But people are worried all the time, well, what about someone who can't speak? Can they get born again? Well, sure they can. If they can, on the inside of them, if it worked for the woman with the issue of blood, it can work for them. Amen?